Blog Talk Radio.
Andrew, hello, how are you?
Mike, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking.
That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad you're doing well. The wrestling world is doing well. There's drafts going on. I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah, I made sure to check because last week, right before we recorded, that news with CM Punk came out that he was backstage, and I needed to make sure that nothing big happened. But it looks like it's more of the same, like the Usos staying on SmackDown, and I don't know.
It does seem like it's more of the same, yeah. I mean, we talked a little bit about brand splits last week, because, look, it's a notable conversation for us to have, because it's likely, probable, I don't know, could happen that AEW could be doing the same thing in just a couple of weeks' time, if this Saturday show gets off the ground as everybody expects it to. We could be talking about an AEW brand split, and whether that's soft or a firm brand split or whatever it is we're calling it. I mean, who knows what will happen. But it is a possibility that this will be something that if you're an AEW viewer, you will have to get used to seeing because, you know, it could be a consistent theme in your wrestling life.
Yeah, I feel that's going to be kind of weird unless they actually say why there's a difference. Because why would, like, CM Punk, if he comes back and... I mean, that's the big, everyone's expecting that at this point. What would be like the storyline reason that he would never show up on Dynamite?
You would almost have to make it a hard brand split because, like you said, otherwise it makes no sense for why he would never show up. Like,
like if he gets beat up on Collision, he's like, well, I could like get my revenge or talk about it in a few days, but I'll just wait a week.
Oh, wait a week, yeah, because why? Of course you'd wait a week. Like, you wouldn't want to get there on Thursday and get anything. You're like, you know what? No, it happened on a Saturday. If I'm going to take care of business here, I'm going to take care of business on a Saturday because that's when it's going to happen. It happened on Saturday.
On my weekend. That's when I'm going to get my revenge.
So, actually, let me do something right here because as we record the show now because I didn't hit record at the very beginning. Luckily, we didn't not record much. We only went like 3 minutes there before I started hitting record. So for the people that are just tuning in, if you're listening to the podcast feed, welcome to the show. All Andrew and I were talking about was brand splits in wrestling and the draft because WWE has that going on and AEW may have one going on soon. And we were talking about how it would be kind of funny if CM Punk got beat up on a Saturday on Collision and did not wait to get his redemption until the following Saturday because, you know, why would he show up on Wednesday or Friday? I think he would want the continuity of making sure that he got revenge for whatever happened to him on Saturday on the following Saturday.
I feel like that 3 minutes, though, that might have been our best 3 minutes ever. So, and yet people who are just now joining us will never know.
So you could let that be a lesson to people that you can listen to the podcast feed or you could listen live because you never know when Mike's not going to hit record and you might miss like a minute and a half, 2-3 minutes of the show, whatever it is. You never know when that's going to happen.
When the wrestling geniuses, yes.
Yeah, but at least I remember now. I mean, it was very possible that I wouldn't have remembered until like, you know, I don't know, 45 minutes in. I feel good about the fact that I remembered now and we were able to start record and no one really knew the difference.
I think it's fine. Also, like right before the show, like I forgot I'm waiting to like for us to record and I was like, hello. So I was like wondering if that made the air and people are like, oh, Andrew's gone bananas here.
That's okay. It's new to all of us. Last week was our first, getting back on the horse again. I don't know how you're taking live calls, whatever you want to call it, because it's not new. We've done it before. We just haven't done it for a while. But now we're into week two. Hopefully more people remember to tune in on Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you are listening to us live, 515-605-9345 is the number, 515-605-9345. Once you call in, you kind of automatically get put on hold. You just got to hit the number one. That tells us that you want to get on the show. If you're not listening to us live, that's totally fine, too. We appreciate everybody listening, whether it's live or not live. And you can also email the show at allelitafter@gmail.com. And, Andrew, let's kind of start with some emails. I see people tuned in here over the phone, but no one has said that they want to be a caller yet. So while we're waiting for live calls, why don't we go to emails and we can talk about some AEW, because I'm sure that's what most of these emails are going to be about. Okay, let's see. Up first is Zach in Texas. Zach this week says, CM Punk is the Antonio Brown of pro wrestling.
Is he a football player? Who's Antonio Brown?
He is. I kind of see what he's getting at. I'll read more than just the first sentence of Zach's email. I kind of see what he's getting at, but Antonio Brown is also – he's a football player. He's also completely nuts. Like, he's the guy who last year on the sideline – I don't know if you remember seeing this clip – was playing for the Buccaneers and just – he got mad in the middle of the game against the Jets and just undressed and skipped off the field.
Okay. Yep.
I mean, so I can see that, like, he quit. Like, I can see that comparison. But also, Antonio Brown seems to be certifiably nuts and is, setting things out on social media about having relations with teammates' wives and whatever else. So he's a little crazy. I don't know if Punk rises to that level, but I see the comparison. Zach says that Punk is immensely talented, but he simply cannot get out of his own way. After a 7-year hiatus, he comes back to the biggest pop I've ever heard. 1 year later, he self-destructs sitting right in front of his boss over something that nobody cared about. It was a problem in Punk's own head. 9 months later, Tony Khan wants to bring him back, and then he promptly posts and deletes an attack on a prominent member of the roster. Tony Khan still wants to try and make things work and sets up a meeting between himself, Punk, and Jericho that apparently went well. And then what does Punk do? He goes backstage at Raw. How stupid and self-sabotaging do you have to be to do that? Also, he's a massive hypocrite given that his entire diatribe last year was focused on leaks to the wrestling media, yet he deliberately goes to Raw knowing that the very same media are going to report on it. Sure, the Elite are passive-aggressive, and it's annoying as hell, but Punk is untrustworthy. Why would Tony Khan keep putting up with this behavior? When is enough enough? Because it seems like you guys think he should tolerate whatever Punk does because he's Punk. Well, not whatever. I mean, he can't kill someone. I would be definitely...
I would be against CM Punk murdering someone. I just want to be on the record.
Let's be clear. AEW does not need CM Punk. I would disagree with that. They function just fine without him. Yes. I mean, they can function... They can produce a show without CM Punk. The point is from a business standpoint, they need CM Punk. They do. Warner Brothers Discovery wants CM Punk in that Saturday show. That's why they need him, right? That tells you all you need to know. That's why they need him. The Elite, on the other hand, is the heartbeat of the company. And even though Mike hates them with the passion of 1,000 burning suns, their names are still on the door. I like CM Punk, but Tony Khan can't keep letting him get away with openly disrespectful and disloyal behavior. He moves on, which we will get to the other part of that email in a second. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, Andrew, I don't know if you agree or not. I think the fact that Warner Brothers Discovery is saying they want CM Punk to anchor that Saturday show and they're going to pay them a lot of money for a Saturday show means that AEW needs CM Punk. And it means that Warner Brothers Discovery saw the same thing that we saw and that CM Punk were viewers and better ratings. And there's a reason why they want him to anchor that show. It's because they think that he made them money and they must have some sort of metric that would substantiate that.
Yeah, wasn't the rumored number something to the effect of like TNT / TBS, they pay like $500,000 per hour for a show? So essentially like, and let me know if this is off, but that's essentially like $1 million every week. So potentially they're making $50 million because a big part of that would be because of CM Punk. So even a Punk, I'm going to guess he makes like $3 million a year or something, like, you know, 52 minus three, they're still like doing incredibly well. And if he helps them do that, I mean, I get it. I mean, I hate the idea of two more hours every week, but like just from like a short term business perspective. Yeah. I think they kind of do need him if they want to make that deal and make that extra, you know, potential $50 million a year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think, look, there's a place for both groups in the company, but there's a reason why Warner Brothers Discovery is not saying we want, you know, the Young Bucks to anchor this Saturday show. and look, going back to him going to Raw last week, because that obviously was a big story a week ago. We talked about it kind of as it happened. Mm-hmm. Once we learned more, look, we could debate whether or not he should have done it. And there's also some things we just don't know, okay? We don't know if he talked to Tony about it first. He was leaving Florida, you know, literally leaving a meeting where he met with Chris Jericho and buried the hatchet, you know, over a pretty long-standing beef, right? It's a beef on the show. And then if reports are correct, he was on a flight with a bunch of WWE talent and was talking to them in the airport on the plane. Just came from a situation. And again, I'm cutting him a lot of slack here and giving him a lot of benefit of the doubt, but I'm just play along with me for a second. He comes out of this meeting where he sits down with Jericho. They bury the hatchet. They decide we're going to move forward. It's what's best for AEW. This is what we're going to do. And by all accounts, it was a good meeting. He has had a long feud, almost 10 years now, with WWE. He's on a plane with a bunch of their talent. He's talking to them. He's interacting with them at the airport on the plane, finds out Raw's in Chicago, and decides, you know what, I've got another pretty long-standing feud here that it would be nice to bury the hatchet there as well and just move on. And I'm not going to work for him because I'm under contract to somebody else, but I'm going to just... I want this out of my head. I want a clear conscience. I want to be able to move forward. And decided to go to Raw to try to make that happen. Or, because it doesn't sound like he had a very long conversation with Triple H, or just said, you know what, I saw a bunch of friends on the plane. It was good to catch up with these people. I want to go see more of my friends that are backstage of the show. Like, you know, I want to say hello. And to me, it's not an issue at all if Tony Khan was given a heads up ahead of time. It is an issue if Tony didn't know, because then it looks like you're trying to do something, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what we don't really see. That I haven't, unless I'm wrong, I mean, I don't know if you've read reporting on this that I just haven't seen. I haven't seen anything that has said, you know, Tony's freaking out and Tony didn't know about it. Who's to say that he didn't shoot Tony Khan a text on the plane landing and said, hey, Tony, look, Raw's in Chicago tonight. I got a bunch of friends backstage. I just want to go visit and say hi to some people. Is that cool? And Tony replies back with, yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we're having these long conversations and these debates over, you know, I can't believe Punk went to Raw. We don't know if his boss said it was okay. So, like, if Tony doesn't have a problem with it, why should anybody else? And I don't know. And again, I'm cutting Punk a huge benefit of the doubt because we just don't know. I haven't, you know, Tony hasn't responded to it. I haven't seen any reporting on it that has been that I'm aware of that's been like, you know, Tony's livid that he went or anything like that. If that is out there and I haven't seen it, then obviously I'm wrong. But I haven't seen that.
No, I haven't seen it either. And I, like, completely agree on that. I think that's what it all boils down to. Like, if he didn't get Tony's okay, then that's like another deal completely. And that is a really awful move by Punk and makes, you know, it makes like Tony Khan looks like a bad and ineffective boss once again.
Exactly. Then that's insubordination.
Yes.
Like if he goes without his boss's permission, then 100%. That's you trying to make the company look bad.
Yeah. But if Tony's like, hey, go ahead, you know, and he's thinking or he says like, that's going to be some good buzz because if you're coming back in June, like, let's get your name back out there again. And Punk also, I don't know if you saw this, but he was also backstage at Impact this week too.
I did not know that. Okay. And
yeah.
No one seems to be making a big deal about that.
Like, yeah. So he's going around and, you know, shows backstage. And if it's just to, like, get his name out there, then it's, like, a positive good thing if Tony's okay. But, yeah, like you're saying, if it's not, that's a whole other issue.
Kind of where this also could be a giant – and, look, it's also possible the Punk was like, screw these guys. I'm going to do this to make them look bad.
Yeah.
But that's a possibility. It's possible that Punk got permission from Tony and everything was fine and everyone's freaking out about nothing. Or, you know, it's also possible that it's something in the middle where maybe Punk said, I met all these people on the plane. I said hello to them. you know what? I want to say hello to more of my friends that are backstage at Raw. Or I'm going to go see if I can say hello. Never said anything to Tony because Punk may have figured, well, like, who was it, Daniel Garcia or somebody was like that? Was not Daniel, was it Daniel Garcia? Somebody was backstage with Cody. We talked about it last week.
Oh, Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks was backstage with Cody, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. So, like, if that's okay, it must not be a big deal if I show up and say hi to people. And then Tony does get upset about it, and Punk's like, well, wait a minute. You know, I didn't think this was a huge issue. Like, we've had other talent that go backstage at their shows. I'm sorry. Like, I should have reached out, and it's something that was an issue, but it's completely blown over by now. I think with the way, as Punk has indicated, with the way that wrestling media works and what to the extent that these people like to talk, if this was a major issue with Tony Khan, I don't think we'd be sitting here a week later wondering about whether this was a major issue to Tony Khan. I think we would have known. Because either Tony would have told someone or someone would have been like, you can't believe how pissed off Tony was at Dynamite on Wednesday. Oh, my God. Like, would have gone, somebody would have said something. We wouldn't be sitting here going, we haven't heard anything, so we just don't know what his reaction was. I think if he was really that upset, we would 100% know what his reaction was by now because it'd be out there.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards, like, Tony was either given a heads up and he was cool with it, because otherwise we wouldn't have seen, like, Punk backstage and Impact as well, unless he's really just, like, messing with his boss.
That's a really great point, yeah.
At this point. And by, like, the photos I've seen, he just looks like he's hanging out, smiling, and he doesn't have this, like, devious look in his eyes that he's pulling one over on Tony. But, yeah, I mean, if Punk is just going into business for himself, it's kind of too bad for Tony at this point because it's too far along. He needs Punk for that show right now. But I'm leaning towards everything's cool between those two.
Yeah, it seems like everything is cool between Punk and Jericho and Punk. It seems like everything's cool between everybody, and a lot of people are freaking out about nothing. That's kind of what this feels like to me. But also, Zach says, a quick update on All In ticket sales. According to reports, all pre-sale registrations have been sold. That means if each of those people buy two tickets – each, that's over 50,000 tickets right there without any indication of Punk being on the card. So my wild prediction may not have been that wild after all. Yes, all the pre-sale registrations have been sold. That is correct. And it's about 25,000 of them. Or 30,000 of them, I think. 25 or 30,000. However, I don't think, from what I've been told, and I don't know this for sure, I have someone who is in the UK who was explaining this to me on Twitter. The pre-sale registrations are not actually anything that have been for sale. It's essentially something, it's like a sign-up list to buy pre-sale tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to pay to get on the list. So, like, in the U.S., like, for a concert pre-sale, you may get a code emailed to you if you're, even with WWE and AEW, you may get a pre-sale code emailed to you if you're on some sort of email list.
Yeah.
With the U.K., you sign up for the pre-sale. And whoever signed up for the pre-sale has access to the pre-sale. And that set a certain number of individuals. But just because you're signed up for the pre-sale does not mean that you're necessarily going to buy tickets. And, you know, in very rare cases, do I think it would be 100% of the people buy tickets? I still think it's a good sign. Like, if it's 30,000 people on the pre-sale list, and, you know, roughly 60% of them buy tickets, that's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 35,000, 35 to 40,000, which is a great starting point and means the stadium was worth it. Because, like Andrew, we were talking about either last week or the week before, the nightmare scenario is they don't sell as many tickets as, you know, what would have sold out the O2 Arena or whatever it's called now. And they could have just done the show inside. I think that they're going to be above that number.
I would certainly think so. Yeah, I think as time goes on, I think it looks more positive for them because originally I was thinking, man, they might only do like 25,000. But at this point, it certainly seems like they'll at least like do 30, and which is obviously they want to sell way more than that. But that's still like 10,000 more than their biggest show ever, which is pretty impressive. So, yeah, as long as they get into the 30 range, it won't, I think, be that embarrassing.
And I don't think, honestly, too, that it has anything to do with Punk, right or wrong. I don't think this show in the UK is going to have anything to do with any individual person. It's the first show they've had in the UK ever. Mm-hmm. know, they've been around for 4 years. It's the first show they've ever had in the UK. So outside of, you know, North America. So I think it's going to be a giant draw no matter what. You know, because you can't say, well, like, they're going to sell those tickets without Punk. Well, you could also, I could also make the argument they're selling those tickets without Kenny Omega. Like, they haven't advertised anything for that show. The only thing that's been advertised for that show is AEW is coming to London for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And we're going to draw this giant crowd. I think the company is the drawing card there.
I think right now it is, yeah. I mean, if they get that initial, say, 30,000, and then there's potentially tens of thousands of people just like, well, I'm going to wait. Like, is Soraya going to be on the show? Is Punk going to be on the show? Is Omega? You know, they're just, like, waiting for their favorites. So, yeah, they could definitely do a lot more once that once we know what the card is going to be.
Zach has a $5 challenge. We'll try to get to that later in the show. We're trying to keep – well, with the live window, we now have to keep the show at a certain number of minutes or time. We will run out of time at some point, as Tony Schiavone loves to say. But we will try to squeeze that in. We also have an email from Brian from Cambridge, Ontario, that only is a $5 challenge, so we'll get to that in a little bit. 515-605-9345 is the phone number. If you are on hold and you want to get on the show, hit the number 1. I do see you there right now, but if you want to get on the show, hit the number 1. That's going to let us know that you want to get on the air. Up next is Chad in Nebraska. Chad says, happy Monday night, my friends. Non-wrestling question. Okay. So a week ago, he says, my oldest and I went to the ball field so that she could practice pitching. The area that you can practice is about 20 feet from the parking lot, and it was only the two of us and two other high school girls. My wife needed to grab something out of my car, and she locked it, not knowing my keys were still in the ignition. She couldn't believe that I would leave them there. Am I crazy for doing this? Well, lucky for you, Chad, Andrew and I are not only here to answer wrestling related questions, we're here to help guide people through life. Okay, so leaving your car keys in the ignition, I assume the car was off, but he left the keys in the ignition, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Because I assume his wife would have known the keys were in the ignition if the car was running.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Because if not, if the car was running, I would have to say, Chad, your wife might be a little nuts because she didn't realize a running car had keys in the ignition.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say he left the keys in the ignition with the car off. Is he crazy for doing this?
And then she locked the doors?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I will say this.
Yeah.
There have been times that I have left my car running.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never left my car turned off with the keys in the ignition. That being said, leaving my car running is probably the same thing, right? They're both they're in the ignition.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, what I'm doing might be worse because it's advertising to the world, hey, my keys are in the ignition, and no one else is in the car. I left the car. I clearly left the car running.
Oh, like you went into a store or something?
Not you. I will usually do it like if I'm picking up like a sub shop or something, like a sandwich shop, or like getting dinner, like a little takeout place, and I'm going right in the door, grabbing my takeout, and coming back out.
Oh, interesting.
Not all the time, but there are times where I'll just like leave the car, especially in the winter. If it's really, really cold, I'll leave the car running, you know, run inside, grab the food. I can see my car the entire time. Because it's not a very big, you know, place, takeout place. But I don't know. I don't know if he's crazy for leaving his keys in the ignition.
I wouldn't say he's crazy, but for me, I'm extra paranoid about that. Just like not bringing my keys in. Like if I have them, you know, if I have like my gym bag, I will like triple check that to make sure that I have my keys and I'm bringing them into the gym with me. And not like, you know, somehow just leaving him in my vehicle. So I wouldn't say he's crazy, but for me, I wouldn't have done it. It would have been too much. I would have been too afraid of getting locked out like that.
So because he's not that far away. He says he's only about 20 feet from the parking lot.
Oh, so it's within eyesight.
Within eyesight. And the thing is, when I'm doing something, like if he's, you know, playing baseball with his kid or anything like that, like personally speaking, I don't like to have my keys in my pocket. I don't like to have anything in my pocket when I'm doing anything like that. If I'm in the gym, you know, on a run or whatever, I don't like having anything in my pockets. It drives me crazy.
Yep. That's fair.
So I can see his point on why they were left.
I would like to know the pocket situation, though, in general. Like, if he does have pockets and it was a possibility, or these were pocketless shorts, and he would have had to, like, put them on the ground by the pitcher's mound. I think that's
yes
a factor as well.
That is a factor. Shirt could matter, too, because, like, you could have a hoodie that has, a pouch pocket in front.
That's true. We also got to know, like, how many keys are on this. You know, because if it's just, like, two keys, putting them in his pocket, he probably should have done it. But if it's, like...
That's a good point.
He's got a lot of keychains on there. They're heavy. They're jingly. They're going to make a lot of noise. They're going to be uncomfortable. And if you accidentally fell on them, it could create a serious situation.
That's excellent point.
Yeah. So there's a lot of factors at play here, but I want to say, without all those details, I would say you're not crazy, but you're not crazy.
Do you like putting things in the front pocket of a sweatshirt? Because I don't like doing that either.
No.
I feel like it weighs my shirt down. I hate it.
I'm just too, paranoid of, like, it would fall out the side, and I didn't notice, like, I'm at Target, and I'm like, crap, where's my keys?
I just don't like the way it makes my sweatshirt feel. I find myself very often carrying things. Like, I'll carry my phone in my hand if I'm in the store.
Oh, not even not in the pockets?
Sometimes I won't. Depends on what I'm wearing.
Oh, no. The phone's definitely in the pockets if I'm at the grocery store.
I was making fun of my dad about this today. he buys T-shirts that have – because he's, you know, an older man. Mm-hmm. He buys T-shirts that have a pocket on the T-shirt, like a shirt with a pocket on it.
Yep.
And I try to tell him that, like, that shirt pocket's not for things. Like, it's not things aren't supposed to go in there. Like, it's for decoration.
Yeah.
He'll put everything in his shirt pocket, including his phone. Which
oh no.
Is hilarious. Because he's also recently lost like 60 pounds and he's still wearing shirts that are too big for him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you're putting your heavy phone in your shirt pocket and then it's like dragging this shirt that's already too big for you way down. I'm like, you look ridiculous. That to me is a bigger violation than leaving keys in the ignition, is putting anything in your shirt pocket if you have a shirt pocket. I don't think anything other than like a handkerchief, nothing goes in your shirt pocket.
That's kind of weird that it's a design at all, now that I think about it. TV would tell us, like, oh, that's what nerds put their pocket protectors in their calculators.
Yeah.
But, like, in real life, I never see people put stuff in there. Maybe a pen, I guess. You see it, like, sticking out, but it's not, like, an everyday occurrence. So I'm very anti-pocket shirt. I think I have, like, one, maybe. It's just a turnoff to me.
I don't like it either. Okay, so we're solving problems. This is good. Back to Chad, though.
We used to get a lot of, like, balding problems, balding questions.
Which, yeah, and I'm still – oh, quick bald story before we get back to Chad. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Any longtime listener knows that I'm a member of the Shaved Head Club. I went about – I usually do it – I usually go, like, every 4 days. 4 days is about my max.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, because of a variety of factors, you know, wasn't really feeling that well, just was like, I just don't want to do it. And then I realized that I was on razors, and it took me a while to buy more. I went, like, 2.5 weeks without shaving my head.
Oh,
longest I've gone in a very long time.
Yeah.
I've shaved my head since – it's been 6 years. It's been 5 years since like March of 2018 is when I started. So we're like at 5 years. So for the first time in 5 years, I had 2 weeks of growth on my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed, you know, that like old man bald ring that you get, like the, you know, like,
oh yeah.
Like you just have hair on the sides and really not much growing in the middle.
Yeah.
That's apparently my head now at 38 years old.
So, like, would you have a skullet if you grew it out like Hogan?
Oh, yeah, I think I would. It wouldn't be – like, I have to shave the middle a little bit because, like, the middle of my head is not completely bald. It's just, like – I would say it's, like, 10% hair in the middle.
Yeah.
And the sides and the back are still 100%. So, like, yeah, I could grow a pretty mean Hogan skullet, I think.
How's the front doing? Is that all gone?
I mean, it's weird in the sense that, like, there's, like, a little bit in the front, and then it disappears until, like, the very back of my head. So that's what I mean. Like, to get the actual skulllet effect, I have to clean it up. But there's definitely way more bald head than hair.
If the
it bummed me out. I looked at it, I'm like, that's really what my head would look like? Like, I'd have the old man head at before 40 if I let this, if I didn't join the Shaved Head Club. And not so that, of course, I immediately shaved my head.
If the skulllet became popular, would you grow it?
Oh, I think I would have to. Yeah. I think I would have to.
I don't know why the word skulllet, it just gives me joy, so I keep saying it.
And I have to grow a Fu Manchu. I mean, it would be a whole thing.
Now listen to your brother. Yeah.
I'd have to start talking like that. I mean, we can get into a lot of other stuff I'd have to do, too, that I really don't want to do.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Would I dye my beard black, though?
So a blonde mustache. Yeah. I thought that was a super cool look, actually, back in when I was like seventh grade. And I thought it was cool.
So did I. But I wondered, like, the actual facial hair must have been. I don't know. Do we think it was blonde? Because I know people that are like blonde hair that don't have blonde facial hair. So what was blonde? Like, what was real? Part of his beard or the blonde mustache? What was?
Oh, that's interesting.
Which was dyed and which was real? Well, I guess we just don't know. It's one of those mysteries.
It seems tough to dye stubble, like what he was doing.
100%. I think you'd have dye, like, all over your face.
But if he's been dyeing his hair, he's been doing a good job of it. I mean, because it's always looked pretty consistent. I don't feel I've ever saw a time where I'm like, oh, he needs to touch that up.
And I guess, I guess it's possible that he's had the blonde hair, black facial hair, or very dark facial hair, and then dyed his mustache.
I feel I don't see a lot of blonde mustaches. I mean, they seem to have really gone out of style, I guess, or maybe people just can't grow them.
I was gonna say I don't see a lot of mustaches. Period.
Yeah, mustaches. It seems like only hipsters really have them these days, and maybe not even so much anymore. And then people like kind of like older men in like their 60s or so, they might still just be rocking one due to. They've always been doing it.
Maybe I'll try to bring it back.
The mustache?
Yeah.
I've never tried to grow one. I don't think I have the face for it.
You do need to have a specific face.
I'm like 160 some pounds. I feel I'm too small. I think you have to be a certain size, a certain stature, a certain look, and somewhere in between me and Vince McMahon. You have to, like, the mustache would work.
Mustache does not work on Vince McMahon.
Right.
You know what's funny? We're having this conversation. I completely forgot that dude grew a mustache.
It's all I can picture. Like, when I think of him, I just picture that black dyed hair, black eyebrows, black mustache.
Oh, God. Okay. Sorry, Chad. We'll get to Chad's email now. He says he honestly appreciates our podcast, and it's one of the podcasts he looks forward to most each and every week.
Wow.
Good. Thank you. The only WWE thing I will ask, are you guys Team Blue or Team Red? And are your favorite superstars being drafted to your favorite respective brands? I did think it was funny to see on your parent site that CM Punk visited Impact, and no one gave a damn. I'm not sure if you saw, but Sasha Banks was in the crowd as well. I didn't. So it's funny. I didn't even know that he was at Impact until Andrew brought it up earlier. But yeah, it is funny that everybody was freaking out about him going to Raw. Nobody cared about him going to Impact.
Are you team Raw or are you team SmackDown? If you had to like buy a shirt and wear it in public.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I'd probably be Team SmackDown just because I like blue better than red.
I think I'm Team Raw. I think it's just the show is I've enjoyed it more over the years, even though it's been garbage many years. But that's like where Austin got super hot. And
that's true.
I like when Bischoff was GM. I think I liked that Raw more than SmackDown during that time. But the SmackDown does have Roman Reigns and the bloodline, so I could certainly see that case these days. But I think I am more Team Roth. I had to choose one.
Chad says he wants Impact to start a tag team between Rob Terry and Sonny Siaki, managed by Ernest the Cat Miller.
Yes.
And if that happens, if Scott D'Amore is able to pull off the Rob Terry Sonny Siaki tag team with Ernest the Cat Miller as the manager, we will know unequivocally that Scott D'Amore listens to this show.
I'm flying out to their next show if they do that.
We may go live on location for the big debut of Rob Terry and Sonny.
Oh, my God.
Rob Terry and Sonny Siaki.
Teriyaki?
Oh. Absolutely. Oh. 100%, it would be teriyaki.
That's money right there.
That needs to happen.
Yeah.
Scott, we know you're listening. Make it happen, buddy.
Yeah, all these people are talking about CM Punk coming back. Like, who cares? Like, I mean, Rob Terry is out there for the taking. Ridiculous.
And so it's teriyaki. Right there.
Teriyaki, yeah. Imagine how many shirts that would sell.
Okay. Sorry, Chad. Swear, Chad. I'm gonna get your email now, Chad. Don't worry. We've gone on a couple of tangents here. Impact was good. It was a good show. I thought that pushed the knockouts. I thought they pushed the knockouts mainly with the three knockout matches in the show, including Masha and Grace. Again, I could really see those two having a good last knockout standing match. I think Taylor Wilde is a good wrestler. I just don't get the whole hot topic witch gimmick that she has going on. Why do we keep referencing the Undead Realm? I wish we knew. Big Con almost broke Chris Bay's ankle and caused Alan Angels to land on his head. Instead of catching Angels, he just stood there and Angels bounced off of him. I know this was completely stupid, but I did laugh at the whole Johnny Swinger getting a win in Zicky Dice was a masked luchador named El Generico. Jason Powell said this perfectly in his recap of Impact this week. Quote, I also find it hilarious that Santino Marella, of all characters, nullified Swinger's win after catching Dice with his Generico mask off, whereas no one in AEW seems to mind that their world champion offered to pay a challenger to lay down for him in a pay-per-view main event, end quote. And then he said, also, this was reported, we all knew it, and it aired. Naomi, I don't think it actually has aired yet, but Naomi started with Impact this week. I don't watch much WWE and can't honestly say that I've seen a Naomi match, but she is a decently sized name, and I hope she does well in Impact. I think she will bring – I actually thought that she was pretty decent. I mean, considering she was in and evolving at the same time as Sasha Banks and Charlotte and all those, you know, she still found a way to kind of carve her own niche there at that time.
Yeah, she had a pretty good run overall. I never got into the glow stuff. Like, that didn't do anything for me.
Yeah,
but I feel if they tweaked her character – this could be a pretty solid sign. I mean, I think it's a good signing anyway, just because it gives like Impact some buzz and, you know, it lets people know that, free agents, you know, can show up like that. So yeah, I'm curious to see how she'll do an Impact.
Let's see. Jose from Golden Valley says, Eric Bischoff, by the way, again, if you are on hold and want to get on the show, make sure you hit the number one. If you just want to listen on hold, that's fine too. We don't begrudge you. If you do want to get on the show, make sure you hit the number one. That's going to let us know. If you're listening live and you want to join the show, 515-605-9345. Jose from Golden Valley sends in an email. He says, Eric Bischoff complaining constantly about Punk, Meltzer, etc. makes Vince Russo look more like a saint these days. At least Punk got two major paydays from Dana White and didn't need Chachi to be his meal tickets. I do like how clickbait article tweets use a photo of Bischoff when he was doing those AEW appearances when he was still desperate to find work after WWE fired him again. I got home and saw the last few minutes of Dynamite. I saw All Access for the first time in real time, and I immediately shut it off 90 seconds in when the first scene was the Bucks rewatching their return. And Matt saying, quote, this match brought my life back after these awful 2 months where I was considering retirement, end quote. These clowns complain on their YouTube show about being away from home for 10-plus days and traveling and cry about a 2-month paid vacation after getting their butts handed to them in a fight they largely provoked. Total carnies. Sorry, that line gave me a chuckle. Okay. Lastly, Meltzer getting out-politicked by these modern wrestlers this last year has been sad to see. Hope he calls the big man, Hulk Hogan, worked himself into a shoot. As Big Sexy says, you have to know the chess pieces if you play the game. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what happened to Meltzer. I don't understand what Meltzer did or what happened.
Yeah, I'm not, that one's not coming to mind. I don't know what Meltzer did.
I don't know it. I don't know what.
I mean, unless he's talking about like saying Meltzer is the one who provided Bucks all this information and, you know, was somehow a part of the whole like CM Punk thing, like exploding. Maybe something along those lines.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is there some story that I'm missing here? Because then I would feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's it for emails. No one has hit the number one. So you just want to listen. That's fine. If there is anybody that does end up calling in, we can bounce out of our next segment and get back into phone calls. But for the time being, Andrew, let's move on to the next segment of the show. Do you know what it's time for?
I think I do.
You think you do?
I think I do.
$5 challenge.
What a great song. Jay in South Carolina, thanks again. Just top notch. That's all I can say. It's the working of the different wrestlers into the theme. That does it for me.
I feel it could be a big hit if it was released as a single.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so for sure.
Challenge. Yeah, it's rad.
I mean, the time it must have taken to go through there and figure all that out.
Where would you find them saying five? I guess like Booker T, yes, with the five time, but yeah, I don't know. That's impressive.
I love it. Okay. Zach in Texas is up first. He says, let me get the $5 challenge part. Okay. On to this week's $5 challenge. It's a new theme, famous firsts. Mm. Each week, I kind of like this. Each week, I'm going to ask you questions about famous firsts in WWE. This week, I'm going to give you five famous gimmick matches, and you have to tell me who the first competitors were.
Oh, okay.
This is pretty cool. Good luck, Zach in Texas. So famous firsts. So the first, he starts off with the first submission match in WWE. I can tell you the first one I remember.
Yeah, what's the first one you remember?
The first one I remember is Bret Hart and Bob Backlund.
I was going to...
94 Survivor Series. That's the one where Owen Hart threw in the towel and tricked Helen Hart to throw in the towel.
I was going to say something involving Bret Hart as well, because I feel they wouldn't have done this in the 80s. Because, I guess just submissions, like, that's a 90s thing, right? Like,
I think so, yeah.
In the sense of like people like tapping out and I think they would do it on a big show as well. Like they wouldn't have just done it on a random episode of Raw or anything. So I would be fine with that guess. Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna go Bret Hart versus Backlund. Survivor Series 94. Okay. Number two, the first I Quit match in WWE. I like what Zach did here, because I think the first I Quit match was the Bret Hart Backlund rematch at WrestleMania the following year.
Oh.
Because the story was Owen convinced Helen to throw the towel in on Bret.
Yeah.
So now in the rematch, it didn't end unless the competitor said, I quit.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that was Bret Hart Backlund that would have been WrestleMania 95, whatever number that was, 11 maybe? Because 10 was not. Yeah, 10 was 94, I think it was WrestleMania. And I think if we're going to get real technical, I believe that Roddy Piper was the special referee.
Oh, okay. I like it. Yeah, I mean, the only, like, one that was popping to mind was, like, Rock Mankind. And, yeah, I was like, nah, something had to have happened before that because that was 1989.
I know that they did an I Quit match right after that submission match. And that's why I think we have the number one, we have the submission match correct, because I think I like what Zach did here. I think he probably went with the follow-up right there. This one I don't know. I don't know if you have any guesses on this. The first Last Man Standing match in WWE.
Oh, that is it.
I mean, I feel like Triple H and Mankind had one at a Royal Rumble. Is that ringing a bell at Madison Square Garden?
Ooh, that one is not, but it, I mean, it certainly seems like something Mankind would be involved with.
I think if we get technical, it was Triple H and Cactus Jack at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, the 99 one?
Maybe.
Or
I remember.
That must have been 2000.
I remember it was Madison Square Garden.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was Royal Rumble 2000.
Was that a Last Man Standing match?
Isn't that the one where he lost? I thought that was a...
Or could have just been like a no disqualification match?
Because he... Isn't that like the where if Cactus lost, he would have to retire, and then he came back like 2 months later at WrestleMania as Mick Foley?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
But there was so many like gimmicks too, like during the Attitude Era. I feel there could have been one earlier than that, but nothing is coming to mind.
I guess we don't need to know the event necessarily. He wants the competitors.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're just adding the event. So, I mean, Foley seems like he's a pretty good bet.
Yeah. Somewhere in there, yeah.
Let me so this is an interesting question. So I don't remember. I'm curious if you remember this. You said that the Foley Mankind I Quit match, which was the 99 Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Or 2000, maybe?
That was, I think that was 99.
Well, because it
was so, in Beyond the Mat.
That was, the Rock one.
The Rock one, yeah, the Rock Mankind. That was an I Quit match. That,
oh.
Foley, like, was knocked out, and they had the recording of him going, I quit.
Yes, okay.
What was the follow-up to that match?
Oh.
I think that was a Last Man Standing match, too.
So that would have been earlier, then.
Would have been earlier, yeah. I just don't remember if that was the first one. Like, I think their rematch... Because that was the whole thing. Like, the follow-up to the I Quit match where Foley didn't actually quit was the Last Man Standing match. I just don't know if there was one before that.
Yeah.
I don't recall there being one before that. But, it doesn't mean that there was. That probably would have been 99. And, I mean, they very well could have done one in 98.
Yeah. So you're more of the 93 to 96 expert, and you're saying, like, that didn't happen during that time, probably?
No. Okay. I would almost guarantee you it didn't, because they were very anti-violence in that era.
Oh, true. Okay.
They didn't start getting back into kind of the hardcore stuff, for lack of a better term, until late 97.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We can do Rock Mankind.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, I think it's a decent guess. So okay.
Yeah, I think it's a decent one. Yeah.
Okay. This one I don't remember there ever being one, so I don't remember the first. The stairs match, the first stairs match.
Oh, Big Show and Eric Rowan.
Really?
Yeah, it was TLC. It was tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs. And it was like it was Eric Rowan
what
was like.
Stairs match?
I don't even remember. I think stairs were just involved. Like, you didn't have to, like, put them on a stairs or cover them with stairs or anything. I think stairs were just encouraged to be used. But, yeah, it was, like, Eric Rowan's single push and his probably the biggest singles match of his career, because it was probably his only, like, singles one.
I have no recollection of that match. What was it, like, steel stairs? Like you see, like, in a Home Depot or something like that? Like, when they need to get high on the top shelf? Like, was it stairs backstage? Like, what stairs did they use?
Like, it was like this... It's like a stepladder. It was the stairs that go into the ring, like the ones the ringside steps.
Oh,
the giant one.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I didn't even think of that. So, like, the stairs were legal, basically.
Yes, stairs were legal. Yeah, it was, yeah. I just remember how stupid it was, tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs for the pay-per-view. Yeah.
Okay. The last one is the participants in the first elimination chamber, which is what, six guys?
Yeah.
Well, Shawn Michaels won it.
Shawn Michaels. So Triple H had to have been in it, too.
And Triple H was in it because it was kind of like the follow-up to their SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
Which would have been 02. I think this was Survivor Series 02. So Shawn Michaels was in it because he won it. Triple H was in it. I'm almost positive Jericho was in it.
Would Benoit? Because he was on Raw. He was involved in that, like, Triple H. Michaels feud. But maybe that was after.
I remember seeing, like, a video that they did, like, a little behind-the-scenes video they did about this.
Yeah.
Where they were talking about, like, it was probably like a 10-minute YouTube video. It wasn't even like it was a full show. But they were talking about this first Elimination Chamber, and they had, like, cut scenes of guys, like, rehearsing things throughout the day. And at one point, I think it was Triple H and Jericho were having a conversation at ringside, and Jericho was saying to Triple H, like, it's so hard. Like, we can't do anything with it. Like, it's way too hard. You can't take bumps inside of that thing type of thing. Like, they were trying to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Benoit does make some sense, I think.
Although I feel he was drafted pre-WrestleMania to take part in that triple threat match. So I don't know if that's before or after, though. No, it must have been. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I can't. The only other person I know for sure that was in the match was RVD.
Oh, okay.
And I know that because I think he, like, fell off of a pod or something.
Oh, that's right. So
he wanted to go do, like, a frog splash off the pod and fell or something, or something like that.
What about Kane? He was a Raw guy during that era.
Kane could have been in. Yeah, well, Kane, because Kane and RVD may have been doing something together. Weren't they teaming or?
Yeah, they were tag team.
Recently broken up or something?
For a bit, yeah.
Yeah, that does make some sense. So that's one of the Michaels, Triple H, Jericho, RVD, Kane, that's five. So we need one more. I mean, we could go Ben. I keep going back to Benoit now that you sent him, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a decent guess, but I'm not super confident in that one just because I remember he jumped from SmackDown, I think, with Eddie Guerrero or something. Some memory of that.
I don't think it was The Rock.
No. No, I don't
Austin
think so.
Would have been. I think Austin was done by then, or getting towards the end. It wasn't Undertaker, right?
No, I don't think so. He was a SmackDown guy at that time.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe. Oh, what about, like, Shelton Benjamin?
That does make some sense. They were trying to push him then. It was like, you know, they could have had him go in there and fly around a little bit.
Yeah.
Thinking that they could. I like that. Let's go Shelton Benjamin.
Okay,
let's see. Let me get to Zach's answers here. Number one, first submission match, WWE history. Bret Hart, Bob Backlund, Survivor Series 94 was our guess. We are correct.
Nice.
We are also correct about the follow-up, which was the I Quit match. That was at WrestleMania 11, Backlund and Bret Hart.
Nice.
The first Last Man Standing match. So we didn't name the event, but he was only looking for competitors. We said Rock versus Foley. I think we get credit for this. Rock versus Mankind. I mean, they're the same guy. I don't think we get discredited for saying Foley. According to some people, though, we might. Who knows? The Rock.
We'll get an email next week.
Yeah. St. Valentine's Day Massacre was the
show
that match was on. The first stairs match was Big Show and Eric Rowan.
Yes.
2009, probably first and only. And then the Elimination Chamber match, we had, oh, man, we almost were perfect. We had 5 out of 6.
Oh, man. It wasn't Benoit, right?
It was not Benoit. Michaels we had right. Triple H we had right. Jericho, RVD, Kane, all right. It was not Shelton Benjamin. It was not Chris Benoit.
Oh.
It was Booker T.
Oh.
Five times.
Dang.
Five times.
I didn't even think of that. I should have.
Five times.
Wait, don't you got to do one more? Wasn't that four?
Oh, sorry, five times.
Thank you.
Gotta make sure I finish it.
My
own OCD didn't.
I know. Mine kicked in there. You gotta finish this.
Okay, let's go to. Oh, Brian. We had an email from Brian from Cambridge, Ontario, who only sends in a $5 challenge. But he did say, Andrew, he always enjoys listening to the show. And, Andrew, he's looking forward to another unexpected storytelling podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I will tell the cast that. Thank you.
Here's a $5 challenge that should be easy enough, especially for Mike, since you've been watching early Raw shows. Can you name five WWF/WWF World Tag Team Championship holders? So basically, tag team champions from 1971 through 2002 that consisted of real life related superstars. This can include cousins and non-blood relations by marriage. I have the list that I came up with and the dates of the team one below. If you are so inclined, you can name five who were related. But five who were related and five who were presented as related but not actually related.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with five related.
Can you give me the years again? Like 71 to
2002.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So five tag team champions were actually related. This is what I feel like would be easier. And it's by blood or by marriage. The first one I thought of, Andrew, would have been the Hardys.
Nice. Yes. Okay.
Actual brothers, right?
Actual brothers. Yes.
Are there any other actual brothers? Brett and Owen never held it.
No.
Oh, the Steiners.
Did they hold it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, the Steiners for sure. Okay.
Yeah, I can think of one through marriage, but. And a fake one.
What's one through marriage?
British Bulldog and Dynamite Kid? Is that one?
Are they related through marriage?
Now I'm second-guessing myself. I was thinking Dynamite.
I thought you were going to say the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart. They were definitely related through marriage. Neidhart was married to Bret's sister.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that for sure, because that's the for sure one.
Bret Hart and... There's my and sign. And the Anvil. So that's three. I feel like the Head Shrinkers were related. I just don't know how.
Oh, good call. Yeah, I think they were.
I mean, they were part of the Samoan family. I just don't know which one, but I would imagine they're cousins.
Yeah.
I think they're all cousins, right? So I don't know. Who else? Would the Wild Samoans have also been related then, like back in the 80s?
Oh,
Appa and Sika were brothers, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
They must have held the championships at some point.
If they did, it would have been early 80s, I think.
Yeah, I'm thinking 83, maybe 82.
Okay.
So that's five related. What about five presented as related but not actually related?
One of your all-time favorites, Smoking Guns.
The Smoking Guns. Yeah. Smoking Guns. Billy and Bart. Yeehaw. As related, but not actually related.
When Edge and Christian came in, they were presented as brothers? And then they just did away with that years later? Or am I crazy?
No, that does ring a bell. But I don't know that they held the titles while they were presented as related, and if that matters.
That's a good question. Okay.
I was going to go with the Godwins.
Are they... Oh. Yeah, what are they cousins, or what are they, brothers? In
Henry and Phineas were, I think, cousins in storyline.
Okay.
I mean, they had the same last name, so they were definitely presented as being related.
Oh, duh, yeah.
Just two random guys named Godwin teaming up.
I mean, this is a weird one. I want your opinion on this. Do the Dudleys count?
Oh, that's interesting.
Were they presented? Were they? I forget.
In ECW, they were, but I don't know if they were in WWE.
In ECW, they were definitely brothers, right? Or presented as brothers.
Yeah. Although I feel they may have, like, when Spike Dudley came in, they were all related, but maybe not. That's not what I'm, yeah. I would say yes, but.
Yeah, I think so, too. Let's go to the Dudleys. That's three.
Oh, wait, no, I was going to say DOA, but they never held the titles. Or Ron and Don Harris, yeah, both guys.
See, I don't remember. So he's talking about the original tag team championship, but it only went until 2002. I know the Undertaker and Kane were tag team champions. I just don't know if they held this original tag team title that he's talking about, or if it was the second WWE tag team title.
Oh, I would think
like
they held
when
it.
When did they win it?
Some point in the late 90s, but.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, when were they on the same page? They feuded in 98.
Yeah.
In that, what they would have been the Brothers of Destruction by what? Like, it was right at the very beginning of the.
I bet they.
Biker
yeah.
Taker. Which would have been like 2000, maybe 2001.
Oh, didn't they? Okay, so wasn't there a pay per view where it was them versus Austin and Triple H, and like all the titles were on the line? And I feel like Kane and Taker were tag champs.
Oh, maybe... yes. No, I think you're right. All right, that has convinced me enough. I think we go Undertaker and Kane. That's our fourth presented as related but not really related team. I don't remember. I'm trying to think of who else they presented as being related. Like, you got, like, Crash and Bob Holly, but they never held the tag titles, I don't think.
Oh, no, they did. They defeated the Rock and Sock Connection.
They did?
Yeah, because, like, Mankind was depressed and he refused to help.
Oh, okay.
I'm, like, 90% cousins, right? Sure.
They were cousins or brothers?
They were cousins,
Cousins? Crash and Bob Holly. Okay, let's see how we did here. Let's start with the. Let me scroll down. Let's start with the related tag team champions, the Wild Samoans. Yes,
nice.
According to Brian, April 12th, 1980. The Head Shrinkers. Yes, April 26th, 1994.
Oh wow.
Bret Hart and the Anvil Jim Neidhart. Yes, they're on the list. They won it in January 26th, 1987. The Steiners are on the list. They won the tag team titles June 14th, 1993, and the Hardy Boys won it on July
5th,
1999.
Oh, my birthday.
I was going to say you're not your actual, well, your birthday, but not like the actual day you were born.
No, I wasn't, no.
I was going to say, I'm doing the math there going, that doesn't make sense at all.
I'm only in my 20s.
Yeah. I get it now. The only one, it looks like there was only six, so the only ones we missed were the Quebecers.
Oh, I did not know they were presented as family.
Neither did I. September 13th.
Oh, because of the Rougeaus.
The Rougeaus, yeah. But were they presented as family when they were the Quebecers?
I don't know. Probably.
I think we can say probably. Not related. We're 5 for 5 on this one, too. The Smoking Guns, yes. The Godwins, yes. The Dudleys, yes. Undertaker and Kane, yes. And Crash and Bob Holly, yes. The ones that we missed, according to Brian, were all from before we were born. Jules Strongbow and Chief Drake Strongbow from 1982. And the Valiant Brothers, Jimmy and Johnny Valiant from 1974. Not actually brothers, the Valiant Brothers.
Oh, didn't know that.
I did not know that either, actually. So... But I think we went 5 for 5. So thank you, Brian. That was a good one. I like that.
Yeah,
okay. I like both of these so far. Well done.
Got two good ones tonight.
We got a couple more, too, which we can get to. We got a little bit of time left here. Chad in Nebraska says, he says before he gets to the $5 challenge, he has one complaint about our show from last week.
Oh, okay.
He said, we didn't say that Danhausen and Darby need to be fired. But again, he will say it just so it's out there, Darby and Danhausen need to be fired.
Oh, that's a fair complaint.
Okay, his $5 challenge looks like this. Rob Terry, it seems, has become the official wrestler of the All Elite After Show.
Correct.
With that said, this week is all Rob Terry related.
Okay. 5 for 5, easy.
I like it. I will also give you a hint. None of these answers are Amazing Red.
Okay, we're screwed.
Okay. Number one. When the British Invasion stable debuted in TNA in April 2009, they attacked a wrestler and stole his Feast or Fire briefcase and gave it to Rob Terry. Who was the wrestler that was attacked?
Eric Young?
Sounds good to me.
But he seems like somebody that they would beat up.
Let me, I gotta get that note to a part where I can read it. Okay, Eric Young. Number two, who did Rob Terry beat for the prestigious TNA Global Championship at a TNA house show? Eric Young.
Just 5 Eric Young. Orlando Jordan, did he hold it? They were feuding for a bit.
I do remember that.
That was a bad feud. I mean, that was a great feud.
Great, it was Rob Terry did it. In 2010, Rob Terry reportedly agreed to take an unprotected chair shot to the head from this wrestler and got injured in the process. Who was the wrestler that hit him in the head?
I do remember this.
I remember the story, yeah. I don't remember who hit him in the head. At least off the top of my head. That's a weird thing to say.
Oh, I feel it was like somebody smaller, like a pesky heel.
Yeah, that does ring a bell.
Was it a Homicide?
We can say it was.
I feel... For some reason, that's coming to mind, but maybe it's 100% okay. Wrong.
Homicide. I like it. Number four. Even though Rob Terry won a Loser Leaves Immortal match, he was kicked out. Even though Rob Terry won a Loser Leaves Immortal match, he was still kicked out of the group. Who did he pin in the Loser Leaves Immortal match?
Oh, God. There was like 50 people in an Immortal.
Yeah, and I don't remember like any of them.
There was Jeff Hardy... I think Abyss. It was a real weird group.
Rob Terry beating Abyss sounds familiar.
Could do that.
I think I recall that happening.
Okay. I'm down.
This last one I think you know because I think you've mentioned it before. Rob Terry's nickname when he was part of the Menagerie was?
He was the Freak. Oh, no, right? Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
Bonus question. Chad is a bonus question. Who were all the members of the Menagerie?
Crazy Steve, Mike Knox, who went by Nux, Rebel, and the Freak.
Okay.
I mentioned this before, but I'm one of probably 3 people on planet Earth who own a Menagerie shirt.
That's right. I forgot about that. All right, let's see how we did. The British Invasion stable debuted in TNA in 2009. They attacked a wrestler and stole his Feast or Fire briefcase and gave it to Rob Terry. Who was attacked? We got Eric Young. We were incorrect. It was Fernando.
No.
Rob Terry beat someone for the prestigious TNA Global Championship at a TNA house show. We had Orlando Jordan. The correct answer was Eric Young.
No! Oh, my gosh.
So we're 0-2. This is ruining our reputation as Rob Terry super fans.
I feel if you asked us like 1,000 Rob Terry questions, we'd get 980 of them right. So this is just bad luck. Yeah.
Yeah. In 2010, Rob Terry reportedly agreed to take an unprotected chair shot to the head from this wrestler and got injured in the process. Who was the wrestler? You were right, Andrew, with Homicide.
Yes.
So 1-3. Even though Rob Terry won a Loser Leaves Immortal match, he was kicked out. Who did he pin? We had Abyss. Correct answer was Murphy.
Murphy. Gunner and Murphy?
That's pretty,
I do not remember them in. I don't remember him in Immortal. I thought he was long gone by that point.
I don't remember him at all.
Yeah, Gunnar and Murphy were a brief team. Yeah,
I do. Yeah. So one for four. Number five. Who was Rob Terry's nickname, or what was Rob Terry's nickname when he was part of the Menagerie stable? You're right. It was the Freak. So two for five. But the bonus question. You also had correct. Mike Knox,
yes.
Rebel, Rob Terry, and Crazy Steve were the members of the Menagerie.
I knew my Menagerie t-shirt would come in handy someday.
There you
Today's
go.
Today's that day. I'm wearing it to
Are
bed
Are you wearing
tonight,
it right now? I was going to say, if you're wearing it right now, you could have cheated. You just had to look down and you'd be able to see it.
I literally saw it today because it's like on top of my black shirt pile at the moment. And so I looked at it and thought about it today briefly, as I do every day about Rob Terry.
We all do. We have one more. This is from Jose in Golden Valley. It says, wrestling in Main Street media.
All right. We always do really good at these.
We tend to do way better than we should. What former world champion had a role in the Josh Duhamel? Josh Duhamel? Comedy film. Buddy Games. What former world champion had a role?
Oh, man.
Buddy Games. I don't know that I've seen the film Buddy Games.
I've never heard of Buddy Games.
You're alive.
Sounds direct to DVD or something.
Yeah. Former world champion, but he wasn't specific. He didn't say WWE,
yeah.
W Impact, TNA.
That's tough.
Didn't say, which could mean a number. I mean, it could mean Dolph Ziggler, for all we know.
Yeah. Actually, I'm fine with Dolph Ziggler.
I mean,
he's in LA.
So, is he trying to pull a fast one on us? Could this be a David Arquette movie?
Oh, that would be sneaky.
That would be very sneaky. Do we think that Jose from Golden Valley is this sneaky?
I think he is. Let's go with David Arquette.
David Arquette, there it is. Okay. Number two, Chavo Guerrero performed stunt work for an episode of What Fox Drama in 2017?
Fox drama.
He's done a lot of stunt work.
He has, yeah. I don't know if I could name
a
little
second career. Yeah, I don't know that I could name a Fox drama.
From 2017. Gosh, I can't think of a single show that I just don't watch Fox, I guess.
Yeah, neither do I. American Idol. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, nothing. Absolutely, like the only thing I can think of is like House, and that must have been done 10 years before that.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of too. I was about to say the same thing, but we can just say that. I think we're wrong. But
yeah,
we can say it.
Say House.
What former tag team champion made a guest appearance on the sci-fi series Van Helsing in 2019?
Jeez.
I assume this is a Dracula-related show.
Must be. I don't remember this one either.
Former tag team champion? I mean, is there any former tag team? Who's doing acting that's a former tag team champion? I don't even know.
This is really tough.
I'm just trying to think, based on the fact that it sounds like it's like a mythical type show. It's got to be someone like that. I don't even know. He says former tag team champion. Again, could it be like WCW tag team champion? Was Vampiro ever a tag team champion in WCW?
He might have with the I'm trying to think of that stable he had between St. Cloud Posse. Dark Carnival?
Yeah.
We could go Vampiro.
Feels like a Vampiro.
Yeah, he
feels like a Vampiro.
Gotta be a vampire, yeah.
Yeah, it's gotta be, sure. What former TNA star had a fight scene with Queen Latifah in the CBS series Equalizer in 2022?
What?
What former TNA star had a fight scene with Queen Latifah in the CBS series The Equalizer in 2022?
I mean, do you think it's a woman, or did she, like, beat up a guy?
I think she beat up a guy. I think I know who this is.
Really?
Not because I've seen the show, but because I think I remember seeing something about it on Twitter at one point.
Who is it?
I think that it's KM, the former Impact.
Oh, that guy.
He does a ton of stunt work now.
Oh, good for him.
And I think I remember seeing something on Twitter about, like, him getting beat up by Queen Latifah.
Jobbing to Queen Latifah.
It's a total guess, but I do recall seeing something about that. So, if you're okay with that.
I kind of miss him in Fallah Bahh as a tag team. That was fun for a bit.
And then the last one, which this is just making me giggle. RVD co-starred alongside Steven Seagal in what 2016 action film?
Oh, my God. I watched, like, the first 10 minutes of this film out of curiosity. I did. I have no idea what it's called, though. It's like an Iraqi war movie or something? Or...
If it's Steven Seagal, it must be completely ridiculous, because Steven Seagal is one of the most ridiculous human beings on the planet.
Oh, it was super low budget, and, yeah, it was just – I lasted. And I love bad movies, but I only watched, like, 10 minutes. Yeah, it's something Army. SEAL Team 12.
I like it. Did you know that there's – I think they did a reality show about this that, like, wherever he's from, somewhere in, like, Louisiana, that Steven Seagal is, like, a volunteer, like, police officer or something.
Wait, does he live in America now, or was this before? I thought he was, like,
this was
Russia.
Probably, like, 10 years ago. This was probably, like 10 years ago. But I know, like, there was a chance that if you live somewhere in, like, I don't know, New Orleans or Mississippi or wherever he was living, and you called the police to come to your house,
there was
a chance that Steven Seagal showed up at your door, which to me is one of the most absurd things that could happen to an individual.
I couldn't take that seriously. Yeah.
No, you're calling the police. You need help. You're in danger. And Steven Seagal shows up. not a police officer. Not somebody who can help you. Steven Seagal shows up.
I mean, yeah. You're like, hey, somebody stole my car, and then Steven Seagal shows up, and you're like, oh, forget it.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it, Steven? You going to roundhouse kick a guy in the head that's not here? What are you going to do to find my stolen car?
Oh, man, I hope he doesn't listen to this show, because then he would beat us up. But
is he alive? That's a serious
question. He's alive. Yeah, I think he's a Russian citizen now, I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe
he's a Russian citizen?
Yeah, I think he left the U.S. and
oh, my God. That's – yeah. Steven Seagal is an American and naturalized Russian actor, according to his Wikipedia page.
I didn't know he was actually from America.
He's from East Lansing, Michigan, apparently.
What? Wow, weird.
Why? I'm trying to scan through here. Why did he move to Russia, of all places?
I think he's good friends with Putin.
Of course he is.
He is a weird dude.
He's a citizen of the United States, Serbia, and Russia. He was born in the United States. He was granted Serbian citizenship on January 11th following several visits to the country. January 11th, 2016. Following several visits to the country, and has been asked to teach the Serbian Special Forces.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Steven Seagal is training. Is training the Serbian Special Forces. Seagal was granted Russian citizenship on November 3rd, 2016, quite insistently over a lengthy period of time to be granted citizenship, according to spokesman Dmitry Peskov. So he just kept asking.
Oh, man. There's some, like...
Media...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, while several media outlets have cited Seagal and President Vladimir Putin as being friends, Seagal stated that he, quote, would like to consider Putin as a brother, end quote.
Wow.
Putin, though, has distanced himself from Seagal. Peskov, the spokesman, is reported to have said, quote, I wouldn't necessarily say he's a huge, huge fan, but he's definitely seen some of his movies, end quote.
Definitely seen some of his movies.
Oh,
I was going to say, there's some, I don't know if you've ever seen this. I forget what kind of martial arts Steven Seagal practices. Taekwondo. It's probably not Taekwondo. Whatever it is.
Aikido?
Aikido, yes. Like, there's some clips of him online that are pretty funny where people just, like, run up to him and they basically, like, take a dive for him. He's, like, barely, like, moving, and you can just tell they're just trying to make him look good. It's more ridiculous than like any wrestling match.
Steven Seagal has got to be one of the most absurd people on the planet.
Supposedly he's the most hated SNL host of all time too.
I have heard that. I've seen the videos and stuff like that. Yeah. He's one of the most absurd people on the planet, and I'm fascinated with him.
He has that like weird, I don't even know how to explain it, but yeah, there's something about him that's just fascinatingly weird.
Yeah. It's hilarious to me. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out. He's been involved in so many lawsuits. I'm just reading this now. In 2011, an individual filed a lawsuit against Seagal over his part in a Maricopa County police raid with heavy weapons, notably including an army tank. Apparently he was involved in a raid with an army tank in which he stormed a residence for suspicion of cockfighting.
You need a tank for cockfighting?
The incident was taped for Seagal's A&E reality show, Steven Seagal, Lawman.
Oh, I should check. I got to find that.
The plaintiff was asking for $100,000 in damages and a letter of apology from Seagal to the plaintiff's children for the death, apologizing for the death of their family pet. Oh, that's sad.
Was it a chicken?
Oh, no. Plaintiff claimed that his 11-month-old puppy was shot and killed during the raid. Steven Seagal killed a puppy?
Wait, is Seagal killed it, or just like somewhere in the fog of war, somebody shot it? Or is he saying specifically Seagal?
I don't know. He wanted a letter of apology from Seagal. I think he's saying that Steven Seagal shot his dog.
You would think they would have that on film then.
That just bummed me out.
Yeah.
Oh, this is actually getting quite dark. You scroll down. He's got so many lawsuits and so many allegations of like sexual harassment. It's not even funny.
Jeez.
There's just pages here on his Wikipedia page of various actresses calling him out for starting all the way back in 1991 when Jenny McCarthy said that Seagal forced her to undress for an audition of Under Siege 2.
Yikes.
And then a bunch of other things like that. So he attempted to extort somebody. Yeah, Steven Seagal is a weird dude.
He's a real piece of work. He's a jerk.
Jeez, yeah, there's like a ton of allegations here. I'm trying to find the Saturday Night Live thing.
I remember reading in the book. I read like Live from Mess. Saturday Night or something, and people are just like, yep, he was the worst, he was a jerk, he had no sense of humor.
It says right here, he was a host on, well, it doesn't say what the date, but 1991, and Lorne Michaels referred to him as, quote, the worst host ever, end quote.
It's pretty crazy, because there's been, what, like 500 hosts? Maybe way more? I have no idea. It could be the all-time dud.
Yeah. Okay, we got on a very. I don't even think we went to Jose's answers yet.
Oh, we didn't.
I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
We got off on a Steven Seagal tangent. Okay. So sorry, Jose. Back to your questions. Former world. That was the fifth one though. So let's see how we did. Former world champion had a role in the comedy film Buddy Games. We said David Arquette. We were wrong. It was Sheamus. 0-1.
0-1. Okay. Okay.
0-1. Chavo Guerrero performed stunt work for an episode of What Fox Drama? We said House. Lethal Weapon, which I do remember them doing a Lethal Weapon.
Oh, I do remember that. Yep.
Former tag team champion made a guest appearance in the sci-fi series Van Helsing. We said it was Vampiro. The correct answer was Big Show, so we're 0-3. What? Former TNA star had a fight scene with Queen Latifah in The Equalizer. We said it was KM, and it was KM.
Yeah.
Kevin Matthews.
Okay, good. We're not getting shut out.
I don't know if we get credit for this or not. RVD co-starred alongside Steven Seagal in what 2016 action film? Our answer from Andrew was SEAL Team 12. The correct answer was Sniper. Special Ops. Which is an even better title. Might be slightly better than SEAL Team 12. I don't
know,
but I would go with SEAL Team 12 if it were up to me.
All right.
Well, there we go. That's that.
What do you think? We got time? You got one more in you?
Of course. Of course.
All right. Here we go. Mike's $5 challenge, just for anyone who's never listened before. If Mike gets all five of these correctly, I will literally Venmo him $5. No questions asked. So it's a great opportunity.
So far, I was going to say the grand total is how much you have sent me so far?
I think it's zero. I could be wrong. Maybe you won a few and I forgot, but...
Oh, it's definitely zero.
Yeah.
It's 100% zero.
But tonight could...
We've
been
doing this for like 8 months. So.
I'm feeling good about tonight, though, because it's a really special theme.
Okay.
Spring is in the air. It's May 1st.
Yes.
So we are going with May as our theme.
May?
May.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Who won the inaugural... May Young Classic?
That was recently, too, and I don't remember. Oh, 2019 was probably the year, I'm guessing, right before COVID.
Yeah, I don't want to call the year. Somewhere in there, yeah.
So I think it's probably someone that was in NXT at the time who's now come up as my guess. Oh, I don't know. Let's go. I don't think this is right, but let's go Bailey.
Bailey. Okay. Question number two. How much did Floyd Mayweather claim he was paid for his match against Big Show at WrestleMania 24?
I think he said he was making $20
million. 20 million. All right. Now it's fast. Question number three. Mayweather and Wilcox made up what Impact Wrestling team? This was like right when we started the show, too. That helps at all.
Yes. What the hell was the name of that team? I pictured they were like they were both in the military. That's that team. They were doing that whole thing. They were like the Fighters of War. Does that make sense?
Fighters of War.
Yeah, I think it was like, or the War Fighters or something like that. The War Fighters. That makes
War Fighters. Okay.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that.
War Fighters.
Something along those lines.
Quiz number four. All right, this. The poor man's Rob Terry, Mason Ryan, Mason Ryan, made his WWE debut by interfering in a match between which two wrestlers?
Well, he was part of that whole, like, NXT group that was protecting CM Punk, if I remember correctly. So I'm going to say CM Punk.
Okay.
At that point, that may have been like a Punk Cena thing. Yeah, I'm going to say Punk Cena.
Punk Cena. All right. So we know Mabel won the 1995 King of the Ring. But who defeated Mabel in the 1994 King of the Ring tournament?
That's an excellent question. So in 1994, he was still he would have been a babyface still, because he wouldn't have turned yet. I don't think he turned until after he became King of the Ring. I don't know this for sure, but my reasoning here is Owen Hart won the tournament that year, and they would have wanted to get as much rub to Owen as possible. Mabel was a big 550-pound dude, so we would have had Owen Hart beat Mabel.
Owen Hart. All right. Are your answers locked in?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to give you 2.5 points.
2.5 points. Okay.
2.5 points. Yeah. So not bad. Halfway there. Who won the inaugural Mae Young Classic? You guessed Bailey. It was Kairi Sane. Yeah. Number two, how much did Floyd Mayweather claim he was paid for his match against Big Show at Mania 24? You guessed $20 million. You are correct. He said $20 million. It sounds like it wasn't true, but WWE went along with it, and they're like, oh, yeah, we didn't that much.
Of course they did.
Question number three, Mayweather and Wilcox made up what Impact Wrestling team? You guessed the War Fighters. I'm going to give you half for this, for the word war. It was the Veterans of War.
The Veterans of War. Okay.
Veterans of War.
Something like that.
Mason Ryan made his WWE debut by interfering in a match between which two wrestlers? You guessed John Cena and CM Punk. Correct. It was John Cena, wow, CM Punk.
That was a total guess. I was pretty confident in Punk, and I was just going, all right, who was he feuding with? That was probably around the time of Money in the Bank, so I just kind of pulled Cena out of my ass. Okay,
that was good. Hey. Last question. Who defeated Mabel in the 1994 King of the Ring tournament? You guessed Owen Hart. It was actually the Diabolical IRS.
Wow. Would not have guessed that at all.
I didn't even know he was around in 94. I thought he was gone by like 93-ish.
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't have guessed that at all.
Maybe next week. You'll get him.
All right. Well, it was close. It was close.
It was close.
2.5. It's 50%.
Yeah.
I'm going through the audio clipboard here, looking for, like, is there a sound effect in here that could be the lock-in sound effect?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of Vince. I don't know what these sound like, though. Should we play a couple of them?
Yeah.
Okay. This one's just called Ahmed.
Ahmed Johnson!
Wow. That's a lot of uses for that one.
How about this one?
Gosh, it just seems like yesterday I tricked Brie Bella into believing she was eating meat. That sweet little girl never did find out. It was actually cat food.
What the hell?
That's got to be from, like, that cartoon show. Can't that they
WWE?
Did, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I hope so.
This could be a good lock-in sound. Hold on.
You can feel the electricity in the air!
Yeah. Kind of. Maybe.
This is going to be bad!
There's a lot of Vince ones. Pretty
good
one, though.
Oh, I don't know. That's a pretty good one.
I can see use for that.
I can see a lot of these.
I was attacked by a bear, and the only reason I'm still alive is because the bear passed out while it was mauling me.
Yeah, that's definitely from, like, Camp WWE.
Yeah.
Some of these, though, seem like they're appropriate, given what we now know about Vince.
Take your bra off and take it off now! Oh, my.
That was Camp WWE. That would have just been, like, you know, live in the ring.
That was the Trish barking like a dog segment, I believe.
That's probably it's what it sounds like. I don't know if that'd be a good buzzer.
You have to wonder what is going through his mind.
Yeah, what is going through Vince's mind? Nobody knows.
No one knows. I don't know if I want to know.
I don't know if I want to know either. So, all right, well, we can find one at some point, I'm sure.
That'd be fun.
We need something. I'll have to find something that's a good, like, lock-in.
Yeah, like a...
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like something like... Something that sounds very...
Maybe like a slap.
Yeah. Oh, that would work. That would work.
Maybe like, sort of like.
These are probably some old Pat McNeil ones that have been uploaded in here, but we got this.
Oh, that's definitely McNeil. I remember that from years back.
I don't know what this is.
That
was just called Twitter. I don't know what that is, though.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I've got some of ours uploaded in here, like our $5 challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Music, of course. That's the big one. That's the one that
everybody
likes.
How many sound effects are there?
Quite a few. There's a lot of ads, a lot of old ads.
Okay.
From 2017, it looks like. Yeah, 2017 a lot of these ads are from.
Dang.
So, trying to look to see. I don't see one of ours. I was wondering if we had one in here from 2017. Yeah, I don't see one. I know we recorded one at one point. At least I have a recollection of it.
Oh, yeah, we did have one, yeah.
I just don't know. I don't see it here. Maybe I'm just missing it. I don't know.
Hmm. Guess we could run that during the show sometime.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
To listen to our show.
Listen to it.
Listen to what you're listening to right now. Yeah.
A show that was at that point called a different name.
Probably 3 names ago, yeah.
It's 3 names ago, yeah.
At least, yeah.
It was definitely 3 names ago. All right, Andrew, well, where else can people find you?
You can check me out on the, as noted, the Unexpected Storytelling Podcast. Monthly horror comedy stories, original, acted out by people more talented than me. I usually just help write, sometimes do voices. But check that out. New episodes, I think we're planning for June, so end of this month, but catch up before then. It's Unexpected Storytelling Podcast.
You can find me on Twitter at Torch McMahon. Again, email the show, alleadaftershow@gmail.com. And if you're listening to this in the podcast feed and you want to give us a call live, we have a bunch of people. We have like 3 people that have been listening to the whole show on their phone.
You can talk to us if you want, yeah.
Can no one ever hit the number one, so I'm not going to bring them on the air. I don't want to startle anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do want to call into the show, we record on Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific. Yeah, I did that right. So that's when we record. If you want to jump on, talk to AEW while you watch Raw, that's cool. Dial the number, 515-605-9345, or go to, well, we'll tweet out links to where you can listen to it. It's on Blog Talk Radio. You'll be able to find it. I'll tweet out a link before we start the show every week at Torch McMahon, and the Torch Twitter feed usually will send that out as well. So if you want to listen live and call in, you can do that. If you want to continue to just listen to us on your podcast feed, I mean, that's fine too, Andrew, right? We don't care. However people want to do it.
However you want to engage with us and let us into your lives.
It's totally fine. All right, Andrew, I got nothing else. Do you?
Nothing. I'm going to go watch some Rob Terry matches, I think.
There you go. That's what everybody should be doing. So until next week, for Andrew, I'm Mike. We'll talk to you then. Bye.